Well, good morning. It's good to be with you guys this morning. I'm doing something this weekend here that I have not done before. As I was being introduced, you know, as mentioned, I'm a consultant, and I travel all over the country doing consulting work for large companies. Never have I been in the same city where I'm doing that work and speaking in ministry at the same time. And I will fly back to Atlanta tonight, and I'll turn around and fly back to Cincinnati and be working with a client on Wednesday and Thursday, a client I've been working with. So I'm just looking around if there's anybody who knows me from my other life, you know, come down and say hello here afterwards. I don't see anybody out there. We're talking this morning, we're continuing this series that Chad started last week, looking at Father. Father God, and I want us to think this morning some about how God fathers us, and hopefully as we do that, we'll catch some insights into our own role as fathers and mothers as well. A little bit about me. I've been married for 27 years. My wife Donna's here with me this morning. I have two sons. I have a 26-year-old son and a 23-year-old son. My youngest son is just finally done with college, and we are celebrating big time. Any of you guys who have been through that part of life, it's like, yes, you know, done with that. My oldest one's an attorney, and I'll tell you a little bit more about his personality as we go through the morning. You'll see what a perfectly fitting job that was for him. As I watched this clip here a few minutes ago and seeing this car full of girls, it's a world that I cannot even understand. You know, I've raised two sons. That whole girl world is just something that I completely miss. And I think God has great wisdom in that, because I'm thinking if God had given me daughters, I would have ruined them. You know, in that particular clip, I would have been going, oh, honey, it's fine. You know, don't worry, it's fine. It was a little bit easier for me to, you know, to get in my boys' faces. I'm just not sure how I would have handled the raising daughters thing. But I know many of you have done that. Many of you are doing both sons and daughters. And hopefully as we go through this and understand some of God's fathering with us, you'll be challenged and catch some insights about our own fathering as well. We're in that place in life where I am looking ahead to the next season of life and kind of anticipating that, the daughter-in-law's grandkids season in life. And I'm looking forward to, you know, Little League baseball games again and things like that. I miss all of that stuff. And we're at that place where we started to talk about what are the grandkids going to call us? And I know you don't get a vote in that, or it seems like you don't, but I jokingly have said that, you know, I want my grandkids to call me grandfather because I think it sounds distant and aloof, and I want them to be, you know, to be uncomfortable around me all the time. That's kind of my, you know, grandfather, we'll see you now. Come in, children, sit down at my feet. I'm sure that won't be what will happen. They will end up calling me something like Pop Pop or something like that, which is, you know, which was fine, and I will rejoice in that day. When I was in graduate school many years ago, there was a guy in my class who, when he talked about God and when he talked about his relationship with God and just kind of talked about knowing God, he always referred to God as Dad. And I was just a little uncomfortable with that. And, you know, if I know we're from, you know, kind of different heritages, you should know there's actually a verse in the Bible that really encourages us to have that mindset and that attitude toward God, that God is our dad. In fact, there's a passage in the book of Romans where it talks about God being our Abba Father, and that's a kind of the dad word in the language of that day. And so there wasn't anything kind of wrong with it on paper, but when he would do it, it just kind of left me uncomfortable. It's like, I'm just not sure that I like that. And honestly, you know, I think in part of it was I wasn't sure if he was doing that more because he thought of God as having a close relationship with him, or he thought that it made him sound a little bit more spiritual, you know, than everybody else. And so I wasn't ever really sure about, you know, what was kind of behind that. And not that I would judge the guy, although I think I probably just did. But I started to wonder myself at my own discomfort in that. And I'm not here to suggest this morning that you start to try different verbiage out when you talk about God, but I will tell you that in my own life, it started to concern me and gave me some thought as to what was it about that made me uncomfortable, beyond just the fact that I was a little unsure about what his motives were in it. What was it about that bothered me? And I think in part it had to do with something that I was maybe a little bit more comfortable with God if he was out there than I was with God if he was up close and personal. I was a little bit more comfortable with the grandfather God than the pop-pop God. I was a little bit more comfortable if I could keep God at a distance. What I want us to think about this morning is that God desires to love us in a father relationship. And we catch some glimpses of that in our own fathering relationships. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to jump in and make some observations about this fathering world that we live in. Our Father, this morning we ask that you would allow our eyes to be opened to see a little bit more clearly how you love us as children. And Father, those are kind of words and phrases that we throw around a lot, and it's easy for us to say them without really coming to grips or really dealing honestly with what you tell us about yourself. And so, Father, we ask this morning that you would allow us to get beyond just kind of churchy vocabulary and have a better heart understanding of what it means that you invite us to come to you and say, Our Father. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. We live, and I think you all know this, in a less than perfect fathering world. Anybody dispute that? I think we all know that, right? I kind of came face to face with that early on in my own parenting as a child. I remember there was a guy that we were involved in church with. He was a grandfather. His name was Dex. And Dexter was, he was kind of a crusty old guy. And, you know, not a lot of soft edges to Dexter at all. But Dexter was one time telling me about his grandson and his daughter and telling me a story of a time when, and I'm not sure exactly why Dexter was telling me this story, except possibly to draw a contrast between his grandchildren and my two sons, whose behavior he observed from time to time. So he was telling me a story about his daughter and his grandson, and they were at a park. And at this park, his grandson was just playing peacefully and nicely and politely and quietly and obediently underneath one of the trees there in the park. Now, they've already distanced themselves from my children, even in that, you know, brief description. But Dex's grandson is playing there underneath the tree in this park. And Dexter's daughter looked up in this large tree under which her beloved son and Dexter's grandson was playing. And she saw, perched precariously in the tree, a large limb which had broken off and was just hanging up in the limbs of the tree. And a breeze was coming through, and she realized in a frightening instant that that limb was about to break free and was about to fall directly on where her son was playing. And I think we'll just say that the little boy's name was Johnny. Dexter's daughter yelled at Johnny, move. And Johnny instantly and immediately completely obeyed his mom and jumped up and ran out from under the tree. And the limb came crashing down exactly where he had been playing. And Dexter shared the story with me. And my thought was, my child would be dead. And the last word out of his mouth would have been, why? That's the child that's the attorney today. And a good one, I would say. But, you know, I was thinking like, okay, first of all, Dexter, I just got to take you at your word here, buddy, that this story really happened. It sounds kind of far-fetched to me, but I'll take it as your word, and you win. You know, your grandson is more immediately obedient than my children are, which means you're a better grandfather, and your daughter married a better man, and it's all better. Okay, I just admit, I'm not the perfect dad, all right? My kid would have died there under the tree, and I'm sure you're telling me this story because you know that, because you've watched him play around here, and you know that's just the way that it is. We live in a less than perfect world, a less than perfect fathering world. We see it in our own fathering, And we see it when we have been fathered. We see it in the relationship that we have as sons and daughters of our own dads. I was with a group of pastors one time, and we were at a little workshop conference, and the guy who was leading the workshop said, "Okay, here's what I want you to all do. I want you to all, we're gonna get in a circle, and one at a time, I want each of you to go around the circle and whisper in the ear of each person in the circle what you would like to have heard your father say that you never heard." Now, let me just tell you, first of all, I hate stuff like that. I just hate stuff like that. He's saying, get in a circle and share all this and whisper in people's ears. And I'm going, oh, please, do I have to do this? You know, this is way outside my comfort zone. But I'm like, okay, I'm here. I paid to be here. This is not my deal. I'm not running it. I should be a good guy and get in a circle and do what he said to do. I'll hate it, and I'll use it as a message illustration for the next 20 years. But still, I'm gonna do it. So I got there in the circle, and every guy in that group came around and whispered exactly the same thing in my ear. You know what it was? "I'm proud of you." Yeah, every guy said that. Every guy said, "I'm proud of you." Now, maybe you had a different story growing up. Maybe you had a different dad. Maybe you had a different relationship. But I think most of us have at least lived to some degree wishing that our dads would have made a little bit clearer expression of the fact that they believed in us and were proud of us. I'm sure that my sons wish the same thing too. We live in a less than perfect fathering world. It's the way that it is. My own dad struggled significantly to be able to express his love to us as kids, to instill confidence in us as kids. He struggled with those things a lot. Now, I don't want to put a worse face on that than is true. It wasn't that bad. I know some of you probably have come from family situations where it was really, really, really bad. That's the reality of the world that we live in. We live in a less than perfect fathering world. I want to read a few verses to you this morning from Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus acknowledges basically that. He says, "Hey, you know, I know what dads are like. I know what you guys are like as dads. And I want you to learn something from that." Matthew chapter 7, this is Jesus' words in verse 9. Jesus said, "Everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened." And then he goes on and says, "Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good gifts to those who ask him?" Now, what Jesus does in this verse is introduce us to several things that he wants us to see about our Father God, but things that he also assumes and acknowledges that we know about ourselves. And here's some of the things I want you to look at. First of all, Jesus knows we live in an imperfect fathering world. He acknowledges it right there. He said, "Look, you know, you guys do these things and you're messed up. You know, you as fathers do good stuff in the lives of your kids in spite of the fact that you're kind of messed up heart-wise. In spite of that, you do good things in the lives of your kids, or you aspire to do good things in the lives of your kids. Don Corleone aspires to do good things in the lives of his children. It's natural for us to aspire to do good things in the life of our kids, even though we're selfish people, we've got our priorities messed up. It is natural for us to do that, but we don't do it perfectly. We live in an imperfect fathering world." Second thing that Jesus says in this passage is, there's some similarities that I want to point out between what you guys do in your relationship with your kids and the way that your Father, God, acts and lives in his relationship with you. You guys are imperfect fathers. I acknowledge that, and I want you to know that. And Jesus said, you know, you being evil, but he said, there's still some similarities between the way that you aspire to father and the way that God fathers you. So God's fathering is like our fathering. But then Jesus goes on and says, but God's father is not. God's fathering is not like your fathering. We live in an imperfect fathering world. We all had imperfect fathers. We all are imperfect fathers. That's the nature of the world that we live in. Our attempts at fathering, God, we see something of God's fathering there, but God's not an imperfect father. God fathers us perfectly. And Jesus kind of raises this, an argument, and says that this, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? If you guys, being, you know, kind of messed up dads that you are, if you want to give good gifts to your kids, how much more is God going to give good gifts to you? Now, Jesus kind of, it's a how much more argument. Let me give you some illustrations of a how much more argument. Can I reach that light bulb to change it is the question. Well, I got up there on a 6-foot ladder and I was able to reach it, and you've got a 20-foot ladder. So can you reach the light bulb? People are doing this. This is word problems. How does this work? Okay, 20 minus 6. The answer is yes, okay? If I can reach it on a 6-foot ladder, then how much more can you reach it on a 20-foot ladder? Can you pick that up? Is that too heavy to pick up? My 8-year-old picked it up. Can you pick it up? Well, if my 8-year-old picked it up, then how much more can you be able to pick it up? You see how that's a how much more argument. That's how it works. So what Jesus is saying is, you guys, you fathers in this imperfect fathering world, you kind of selfish, preoccupied fathers who are busy and anxious and all those kinds of things, you fathers, you do good stuff to your kids. And if you fathers do good stuff to your kids, in spite of the fact that you're kind of messed up inside, then how much more is a perfect God Father going to act and live and work in your lives? That's the argument that Jesus makes there in Matthew chapter 7. And what we want to do is to look at four ways that he applies that, or four ways that we're going to apply it here real quickly. How do imperfect fathers father? And how does a perfect father father? First one, less than perfect fathers gladly provide for their kids. Do you agree? I mean, that's what Jesus says. Less than perfect fathers gladly provide for their kids. Now, kids may be sitting in here. We may have, you know, high school, college students going, yeah, right. Yeah. They didn't provide what I asked for last week. Okay, well, let's say we don't always agree on exactly what needs to be provided, but can we just say that as a general principle, less than perfect fathers gladly provide for their kids? Now, they don't do it perfectly. And because for a lot of things, we may lack the resources sometimes that we would need to do what we would like to do. We may want to be careful and not sure how to communicate that it's all about stuff. We don't want to create selfish children, and we're not exactly sure how to navigate that fine line between not giving enough and giving too much, and we're not sure how to walk that fence. Sometimes we're not sure how to give. Sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes we struggle to give generously because we're just selfish. But for the most part, we imperfect fathers gladly provide for our kids. I was working recently on taking some old family movies and video that we have and trying to store them and cut them down so that we have things to watch. When my children were coming along, it was I'm probably close to some of you guys in age. It was in the early days of video cameras. You know, when video cameras, they were like this big. It looked like a TV production facility that you would have on your shoulder. And at that point, we didn't have videos of me growing up because our parents didn't have those. So what we kind of naturally thought was the purpose of the video camera is to record every waking moment of your children's lives. You know, it never occurred to us, you know, you're never going to want to watch 2 hours of an 8-year-old birthday party. You know, it's never fun. You know, it's just never fun. So we didn't ever worry about editing things. So we have hours and hours and hours of unedited hours of our children's lives with moments of fun cut in there along the way. So what I'm trying to do is to take those moments of fun and cut them out and get the rest of it and stick it back on a, you know, hard drive somewhere so that we'll actually watch this stuff. So I'm trying to take that 2-hour 8-year-old birthday party, cut it down to the actual 3 minutes that was entertaining and put the rest away on a hard drive. Well, one of the things we have is Christmas times, you know, opening presents on Christmas morning when our kids were young. And one of the presents that my young son received when he was a preschooler was a Cabbage Patch doll. Okay, you guys remember Cabbage Patch guys? So he had this one particular Cabbage Patch doll that he had identified and said, you know, I want that one. Now my son at this point would want me to highlight the fact that he's a, you know, basketball player, athletic, and all these kinds of things. He would appreciate it if I would clarify that now that he's 23. Dad, not the Cabbage Patch doll, please. You know, not the Cabbage Patch. But we found this Cabbage Patch doll that my son wanted, and we bought it for him, and we gave it to him, and he opened it up on Christmas morning. And as he tore the paper away, he said, "Jim Miller!" And we're like, "Who is Jim Miller?" He had named this guy before he even had it. This little Cabbage Patch guy was named Jim Miller. And I have no idea where the name Jim Miller came from, but that was Jim Miller, and he was thrilled to have it. Now, let me tell you this. My wife and I will still laugh and get joy out of remembering the look on Michael's face when he opened up Jim Miller. Okay? I still... However much it cost, and that was, you know, those were days where, you know, money was tight for our family. We were just out of school, kind of new in career, and, you know, Jim Miller probably cost, you know, it was probably a significant investment for us at that point. But I tell you what, whatever it cost, it was worth it to be able to see the look on my son's face when he pulled back that wrapper and saw Jim Miller. We gladly provide for our kids. He was delighted. Now, let's just take those observations from Matthew 7 and apply them to Jim Miller here for a moment. Okay? I am an imperfect father. Okay? We've established that. You knew it before I told it to you. But I am an imperfect father. I've got my good moments and I have a lot of my bad moments too. I'm an imperfect father. But me, an imperfect father, got incredible delight in being able to give Jim Miller to my son. Now, if I, an imperfect father, get incredible joy from giving Jim Miller to my son, how much more does a perfect father get incredible delight in giving into the lives of his children? Now, I don't give perfectly, but God the Father gives perfectly into the lives of his children. That means he gives what we need to enjoy life as he designed it to be enjoyed. He gives what is required for us to grow in and enjoy and come into relationship with him. Less than perfect fathers gladly provide for their kids. God, our Father, provides for his kids perfectly. Okay, you see the pattern there? That's how this whole thing is going to work. If you got that pattern, I'm going to do it 3 more times. We'll be done. Okay, you following? You see where we're going with this? All right. Second thing. Less than perfect fathers are proud of their kids. They delight in what their kids do in the world. Now, less than perfect fathers do that imperfectly. I don't know if you guys, you know, I live down in Georgia. I think this is global by now, but you guys have the bumper stickers, "My child is whatever." You know, it started off as, you know, "My child is an honor roll student at, you know, whatever elementary school." I think that's kind of where it started. And then it started to spread. I mean, then it started to get, you know, everything. You know, my student is, you know, "My child is student of the month." Or, "My child was a Civitan student of the, you know, semester," whatever. And it went on, and you know, as we started, you know, we started getting into, you know, military was involved. I've seen a lot of, you know, my child is a, you know, serves in the United States Army, you know, all those kinds of things. And I understand, and I think that's all, you know, that's all great. And then you see the occasional, you know, bumper sticker, you know, my student can beat up your honor roll student, you know. We live in an imperfect fathering world, but hopefully none of you have that one. But I saw one that just got my head scratching. And it was, and I can't remember exactly the wording of it, was, you know, proud father of a pharmacist. Now, I'll give it a moment to sink in. It was like a delayed reaction joke there. Okay. Nothing against pharmacists. You know, thank God for pharmacists. I thank God for Medicaid. All those things are great. It just struck me as a weird bumper sticker. You know, there was just something about it that just seemed kind of strange. But isn't it natural that we imperfect fathers are proud of our kids? You know, I told you my son's an attorney. You know, I didn't have to tell you that. Had nothing to do with the point. But it's fun to slip it in there. You know, I'm proud of the hard work that he did. I'm proud of what my kids have done. Now, imperfectly, sometimes I'm proud of my kids because it has nothing to do with my kids. It's just I want to tell you stuff about my kids because I want you to be impressed with me. Sometimes imperfect pride in our kids is all about, it's nothing about our kids. It's nothing about joy in my kids' life. It's all about I want you to be impressed with me. Forget my kids. That is imperfect fathering. Sometimes I'm proud of my kids and things and certain things, not proud of my kids and others. I was telling the group this morning, I was growing up, my dad cared about, there was kind of one thing he cared about when it came to my life, and that was football. That was the thing that mattered, you know, was football. And I had, I played for years and just, you know, played through high school and, you know, had some good success in football and high school. And my dad was proud of me for playing football in high school. There was some other parts of my life. I was a musician. I loved music, played the piano, played the guitar. That didn't count. You know, I got pride points for being a football player. I didn't get any pride points for being a musician. I didn't get any pride points for being a good student in school. I didn't get pride points for that. I knew that if I was going to get pride points, there's only one way for me to get pride points, and that was on the football field. It wasn't even other sports. I was one of these students. I was playing a sport every season all the way through high school. It wasn't even other sports. No matter how successful I was at any other sport, there was only one thing that earned me pride points, and that was football. Now, that's imperfect fathering, right? Imperfect fathering doesn't look and say, I'll decide the measure from which I'll be proud of my kids. I'm going to be proud of my things about, proud of my kids for things that matter to me. I'm not necessarily concerned about things that they're gifted at or effective at or good at. But still, imperfect fathers are proud of their kids. It's wired into us. And while we may not do it perfectly, while we may be skewed in the way that we look at our kids and our pride in them may be twisted by our own sense of our own worth and our own desire to have other people think well of us, still, we dads are proud of our kids. And we kids want our dads to be proud of us too, right? We desire that. We hunger for that. And what we're going to do now is I'm going to put you all in a circle. I wouldn't do that to you. You know, I kind of wonder about what it was like with Adam and Eve in the garden. You know, the Bible says that that God walked with them in the cool of the day. He walked with them and talked with them in the cool of the day. They had conversations. Now you kind of wonder what they talked about. Because there wasn't really a whole lot going on, you know? I kind of wonder, God had given them this world and said, what I want you to do is I want you to subdue it. I want you to take care of it. I want you to tend it. I want you to populate it. It's yours. This is your responsibility. And I kind of think that was a lot of what they talked about. So on a given day, you know, God would have said, hey, Adam, what did you end up naming that thing over there? Well, I called it a lion. I like that. That is a nice name. Yeah, and he's really cool. That's an awesome thing you made. He's amazing. Yeah, I know. God's creation was good. And I think at the end of the day, God would have said, Adam, Eve, guys, good job. Good job. I mean, you know, you guys just did a great job. This was a good day. I don't know how long that went on. We have no idea about how long those conversations went on before things went south. But at some point, God was proud of his kids. There's a man in the Bible, a book about him. His name is the story of a man named Job. And that book starts off with God saying, hey, here's my guy, Job. Job is awesome. Job is a great guy. Job's doing it right. I am just pumped about Job. We imperfect fathers are proud of our kids imperfectly. But in that, we see a touch and a hint of a picture of the fact that our perfect Father is proud of us perfectly. God's not proud of us in the sense of trying to prove something. God is proud of us because he delights in seeing in us the fingerprint of his own creation. Now, one of the things that I think we need to understand, I hope that you understand, is sometimes I think that we believe that God our Father is only proud of us for showing up at church. He's only proud of us for getting into the religious formation. That he doesn't really care too much about anything else that's a part of our life. He's kind of like my dad. You get pride points for playing football. And as far as God's concerned, you get pride points for showing up here and, you know, showing up to meetings. And I hope that one of the things that you're learning and coming to understand about God is that God is intimately connected with and loves and is concerned about and interested in the details of your life. He's interested in your vocation and your family life and your community and your neighborhood and all of those things. And his heart, I believe, is to say, man, you did work today in a great way. Good job. You did your family life today in a great way. Man, I'm proud of the way you did your family life today. It brings joy to my heart to see you do your family life that way. Our perfect Father is proud of us in a perfect way. Okay, third thing. Less than perfect dads prepare their kids. Less than perfect dads prepare their kids. They discipline their kids. They train their kids. Not perfectly. Some dads are overly harsh. Some dads are overly lenient. Some dads are inconsistent. But imperfect dads train their kids. I was, my wife's a nurse. We were flying out to California a few weeks ago, and I always, if I can, I try to sit in the exit row of the plane because there's a little bit more leg room there. We were sitting in the exit row, and so there was three seats across. I was sitting by the window, and my wife's sitting in the middle. And this guy comes in and sits down in the third seat, and as we started talking, we realized he's a rabbi, and I thought, okay, preacher, nurse, and a rabbi. Sitting by the exit row in a plane. It's like, I'm living in a joke. You know? this is not good. You know, somebody's going to have to be thrown out. But we were talking to him. He was a rabbi out in Hollywood, California, and he was telling us what it was like to be a rabbi who was serving the families of some of the people, the celebrities who were involved in the Hollywood world. And he was talking about one particular family, and he was trying to teach this child the concept that there are rules and regulations. And he said, well, just tell me one rule around your house. And he said she struggled and she couldn't come up with it. And he said, surely you've got one rule, like one rule around your house. She said, like not eating too many carbs. Is that? No. Imperfect fathers prepare their kids by giving constraints and controls and consequences. But God, our Father, prepares His kids perfectly. He allows the right amount of challenge and discomfort into our lives to grow us up to be strong followers of His. Last thing. Less than perfect fathers delight in their kids. Less than perfect fathers delight in their kids. I have two boys. My boys were always active. My boys were always sweaty. My boys were always physical. My boys were always breaking things and fighting and wrestling and breaking and fighting and wrestling with me. But there was a time, there was a time in their lives that was special, and it was when they were in bed asleep, I would go sometimes and stand at their bedroom door and just look in at them and think, you know what? Sweat and broken things and stitches and all of that aside, those two guys are a delight to me. And you know what? At 26 and 23, they still are. At 26 and 23, they still are. I am an imperfect dad. I'm a hugely imperfect dad. But I love to stand at my son's door and watch them and just delight in them. God, our Father, delights in us perfectly. God, our Father, delights in us perfectly. Psalm 147 says this, "The Lord delights in those who fear Him, who put their hope in His unfailing love." Now we're going to wrap up here, and I'm going to get the band to come on up and begin to lead us in another song of worship. But I just want to ask you this morning. We all know we live in an imperfect fathering world. And for some of us, our own experience of the imperfect fathering world has been an obstacle to our coming to enjoy and experience the perfect fathering that God desires to bring in our lives. For some of us, we've gotten a bad taste in our mouth about the whole fathering thing, and it's a little bit difficult to come to God and say, I'd like to see what your kind of fathering would feel like in my life. My challenge to you this morning would be this. Look around you at the best pictures that you can find of fathering. Maybe they were in your relationship with your own father. Maybe they're in the things, your heart aspirations as you father your own kids. Look around for the best pictures that you can find of fathering in this less than perfect fathering world. And then realize, if we do it like that, how much more and how much better does God desire to father our lives? Let's ask Him to be that Father to us, to allow us to see and understand and experience what perfect fathering really is. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are all in ongoing desperate need of great fathering. Sometimes it's a challenge for us to trust You for it, but we ask that You would allow us to catch just a little bit clearer glimpse this morning of what You desire to be and do in our lives as our perfect Father. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Well, thanks for being here again today. I don't know if you say amen a lot or you hear us say it when we pray. You know, the word amen means so be it. And again, the idea of a perfect Father, that the Father God we've been talking about isn't always the reflection of our earthly Father, but He is the perfection of our earthly fathers. And this Father that we've been talking about and described is one who wants to build a relationship with us and connection with us. I want to say a special thanks for those who are here. We're going to continue our Father God series starting again next week. As we do that, I want to highlight just a couple things. I know many of you have been praying about and asking about. We did start hauling dirt. We've been praying. Seems like we've been praying for dirt forever. We actually have dirt moving onto our property, and it's all working out. So if you had a chance, yeah, feel free to clap. That's great. So thank you again for so many volunteers who have been involved in that and putting that in place. You can drive by and see all the trucks at work here in this next week as well. I want to say a special thanks as well for all the volunteers involved in our Center Kid, our elementary school camp that went on this week. We had 12 kids go down there. Several of them made some spiritual decisions in their life we're very thankful for. And also I had a note from a pastor from 2 weeks ago. Our middle school students are doing some service projects. Many of you have your students involved in that or volunteered in that. Those middle school students went down and did a one-week work project, and the pastor was involved in the project they did, sent us a personal note, just said, thank you so much, and the work was great, and that one of the women in their church had been hospitalized, wasn't able to get to many of the things that our team was able to do. So thank you again for everything you do around the church to both give through your time and your treasure so that we're able to continue to help people, not just in our community, but beyond. On your way out today, there are offering bags on the way out. If you came prepared to give, you can drop those in. Otherwise, I will see Natrium. See you next week. Thanks.